Hour and a half, we are joined by Colonel Craig Roberts, good friend of mine, Marine Corps sniper in Vietnam, Army colonel in intelligence, police officer who worked the Oklahoma City bombing case, wanted to get his take on Ashcroft admitting there's a Patriot Act too now after denying it, admitting it last Thursday before Congress. Wanted to get his take on the announcements to invade Iran, Syria, as well as North Korea. And I want to talk about how the government says brace for more terror, we're going to take all your rights away, the monkeypox, the West Nile, the SARS, just a lot of different issues. And then I want to talk about Colonel Roberts is kind enough to share with me the story that he shared with me when I was in the car with him for 5 hours driving back from Kansas City into Oklahoma, where I got back in my truck and drove back to Texas. And we were up in Kansas City doing a presentation to a big crowd of 600 about how he died on the operating table and went to heaven. Same thing happened to my uncle. It's happened to many others. It's happened to people that aren't even Christians, but they see the same thing. Very interesting, and there is life after death, folks. This is just a test down here. This is kind of the minor leagues, and the Bible says that the fool has said in his heart that there is no God. And so people live for the moment and don't care about future generations, don't care about themselves for that matter, and it's causing the breakdown of society because so many of us have bought the devil's lie that God doesn't exist and the devil doesn't exist. So joining us is Craig Roberts. We're about to break, but Craig, good to have you on the show with us, sir.
Thanks, Alex. And I just have one question. If I find $1 trillion, do I get to keep it?
I don't know, but you probably get put in prison as an enemy combatant if you expose the government for stealing $1 trillion. That's a lot of money to be missing, isn't it?
Well, you know, it's probably a slip of the pen somewhere in the Pentagon. Some E3 bean counter made a slight error in the books, and it just went missing, and no one noticed.
Oh, sure. Yeah, that's it. Did you see those articles where they just calmly announced $1 trillion's missing over the last 8 years, but it's no big deal?
Well, you know, that's the way the government does things. Even when I was, you know, working with the government, it was real easy to buy stuff in the government. If you just slipped it in a 50-page purchase order as another line item, you could spend $1 million here and $1 million there, and people really wouldn't notice it unless they went back looking for it. So you can probably lose money the same way. You do a contract someplace, you send a check someplace or another check someplace else, and unless somebody goes digging for it to find out if these places even exist, who knows where the money went.
And it's the people doing the stealing, doing the investigating, so hey. And with their $1 trillion, they can hire hit squads to kill people that expose it. It's all part of freedom. We'll be right back with Colonel Craig Roberts. A lot of different stuff we'll cover. And your calls, please stay with us, InfoWars.com.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
All right, folks. We're back live. We're talking to my good friend, Colonel Roberts. In fact, he's been on this show more than anybody else. I do have Aaron Zellman, Jews of Preservation of Firearms Rights Ownership, coming on tomorrow. Honored to have him as well, so stay tuned for that tomorrow to expose the Bush gun grabbing. Colonel Roberts, we're going to get into your experience dying on the operating table and what happened. And do you want to cover that first, or do you want to get into your analysis of the geopolitical scene that I respect and that I think the listeners need to hear? What would you like to cover first?
Well, since you introduced the after-death experience, we'll just launch into that. I'm sure everybody's waiting for that part with giddy anticipation.
Now, I want to tell the listeners why you think this is important to tell this story, because I don't ever cover stuff like this, but I've experienced this in my life, my family has, and this is real, and this is what it's really all about. And you always talk about clearly documented, serious issues that are totally provable, but this is something you experienced, and it's something people need to know. Why do you think it's important to tell this story?
Well, because, as you mentioned before, we totally lose sight of the top of the hill when we're standing down in the valley. And society's breaking down all around us, mainly because a lot of people are in positions of power who don't feel any self-accountability. They think that they can get away with doing anything, and probably when you're dead, you're dead, so just go ahead and do what you want to do right now. You know, it's the old, if it feels good, do it type mentality. The problem with that is We live for the moment. We don't live for the future of either ourselves or our future generations.
Yeah, let's say there isn't a God, which we know there is. The fool has said in his heart there is no God. But what about future generations? You know, over in Italy, a young man will plant a olive tree knowing his grandchildren will eat of it. But in this new society, it's not even 10 years out. It's not even 6 months out. And the corruption just piles on corruption. That really is the devil's system.
Well, absolutely. The evil power in the world, at the top level, plans centuries in advance. But they convince the people that work for them today that there is no future, there is nothing after death, you're just dead, so just do what we tell you to do, we'll make you rich, we'll give you power here, and forget what happens. You know, when Jesus said in the Bible that, it matters not how rich you become here, you're piling up treasures that are going to be rusty and cankered, you need to pile up your treasures in heaven. And that you do with your deeds and the way you conduct yourself and so on. So basically, you're sitting in the middle listening to two recruiters. One is the side of God, one's the side of Satan. And you gotta make up your choice. And a lot of people make the choice with the limited amount of data they have through our public school system that there is no God, there is no heaven, there is no future, there is no hell. You don't have to worry about anything. And when I was growing up, we were taught just the opposite. We were taught, you know, if you do this, if you do that, you're going to go to hell and burn forever, you know. So, I mean, it was scare tactics, I'm sure, but the problem is it stayed with me my entire life, and it always put doubt in my mind that before I do something really bad or stupid, I better stop and regroup and think about it. Well, that's self-accountability. When we lose self-accountability, all of a sudden we get people that get out here, and it doesn't matter who they hurt, who they kill, who they step on, who they steal from, or how many lies they tell. I mean, if you look just at the Clinton administration, what you had is a giant sea bag full of lies. And it didn't bother them at all. And they wouldn't even, you and I could sit here and accuse them of it and point fingers and prove that they said these things and did these things. They wouldn't even answer us. They wouldn't even talk about it. They would just go right on down the road. And other people got too close to them. You know, those people ended up on the dead list. So, if we don't understand that, yes, this is just a very small part of eternity that we're living right now, and yes, that we are judged on how we conduct ourselves now, we better do the right thing. And yes, we need to plan for the future for our generations and do everything we can so that they don't have to suffer through some type of prison camp system or persecution or a global socialist government or whatever. Now's the time to do it. And if you lose your life in doing so, so what? Because I'm here to tell you, this life really doesn't mean that much when you get through the doorway to the other side. In fact, you don't even think about it very much.
Well, my uncle was 16. He begged for a motorcycle, and my grandparents refused. They said it's too dangerous. He said, I'm going out and get my own job, and I'm getting the motorcycle. They said, fine. He got the motorcycle. He got broadsided by a truck, went flying 100 feet, died 6 times on the way to the hospital and at the hospital, and And my uncle's a real serious guy. He has limited brain damage. I mean, you can hardly tell. He just has a few speech problems, not a gigantic vocabulary because of the brain damage. But he's sharp as a whip and smarter than I am on 100 other issues. You know, runs a successful business to this day. But he said that, and he'd never been very religious. I mean, they went to church as Baptists, but he didn't really buy into it. He was kind of the rebellious one. My dad was the older son, the good boy, the valedictorian. John Birch Society, anti-communist speeches, you know, to the thousands of youth, you know, around the state. And here's my uncle, the wild guy. He has this wreck, gets thrown, and goes to heaven. And the description you talked about of the waiting room, the hand on the shoulder, he was still a good person, but, believed in God, accepted Jesus Christ as personal Savior. But, you know, he was still kind of the rebellious guy. And he got admonished about that. Went through, saw these crystal cities, he said it was indescribable, total peace, and then he was back 6 weeks later, out of the coma, right before they were about to take life support off. My grandmother was there praying for him, and just said, please God, because his body was withering, and of course the science back in the 60s wasn't as good as it is now. And he came out of it and, of course, has been changed ever since. And we see this same description time and time again, even by people in other cultures who have had this experience. Jesus said, I have sheep in other flocks. You know, obviously people that had the Spirit of the Lord in them who'd never even had a chance to hear about Jesus. And we see this going back thousands of years. This happened to you. Can you describe that?
Okay, to bring some of the people up to speed that don't know the preamble to this story, I had retired off the police department. I'd been retired 6 or 8 months. I had a radio show I was doing on another network at the time. I just got into it. I'd been doing it about 3 weeks, 3 months, a daily Monday through Friday talk show for about 3 hours a day. And one day, I was getting ready to do a weekend seminar, and it was a Friday night, and it felt like somebody kicked me in the side, right, not my lower right side, like where your appendix is at. And I'd never had a pain like that before. It felt like a gunshot wound. And after about a minute, it went away. And a couple of minutes later, it did it again. Well, that cycle repeated all night long, and I was doubled up on the couch all night. The next day, I couldn't do the seminar. I had to have somebody else do it for me. And I was sick all weekend, and then I thought, well, this has got to be some kind of stomach virus. Well, the next Monday, it finally quit, and over the next 30 days, I kept getting weaker and weaker and so on, and my skin started getting jaundiced, and it was getting hard for me to breathe. I was short of breath, and I didn't know what was going on. So I was getting ready to do my show one morning, and I picked up a newspaper, and I was trying to take out articles, you know, to talk about on the show, political stuff. And there was an article in there about hepatitis A, B, and C. And I thought, wow, this is kind of interesting. I read those, and I said, man, I've got to have hepatitis. That's what's wrong with me. So after I got off the show that day, I went to the doctor. They took blood, and I got a really great doctor. He's a Chinese guy, kind of looks like Buddha. He has a thick Chinese accent or American Chinese accent. And lab results came back, and he looked at these and said, oh, Mr. Roberts, he said, this no good. Your blood, 6, should be 12. I send you a hospital, you'll get transfusion. And I was thinking, hepatitis, you don't get a transfusion. I said, well, doctor, I said, in English, the word is prescription. I need a prescription. He says, no, I know prescription. I, doctor, you not. You need transfusion or you die. And so I ended up in the hospital that night. They ran me through a bunch of tests the next day. That was on a Monday. On Wednesday, they took out half my colon with a tumor the size of a baseball. And the thing about it was, a year before, I had a total lower GI series checkup, and they didn't find anything. So when they tell you that these polyps that you have in colon cancer are very slow growing, that's true 90% of the time, but 10% of the time you can have one that takes off like it's been fertilized. And that evidently had happened to me. So they took out the whole right side. Then they found out that it metastasized and got it to the bloodstream, the muscle wall, so on and so forth, and the end result was getting booked into the chemotherapy unit. And so for the next 3 or 4 months, I was taking chemotherapy, intravenous chemotherapy, where they collapsed all my veins. And I won't go into all details. The bottom line was, after about 5 months into this, we went to California on vacation. I had a week off of chemo, and I got out there, and I got so sick that I couldn't leave the hotel room. By the time we got home, I couldn't get out of bed. And on one particular Sunday in August 5 years ago, I got up out of bed and blacked out and fell down on the floor. And the next thing I know is, you know, I opened my eyes, I'm laying on the floor, my wife's standing over me trying to get me up, and I said, well, get me back in bed, I just need to get some rest. And so she got me back in bed, and I started to get up again to run into the bathroom, and as soon as I got my head above my waist, I blacked out again. Now, this is a sure indication that you got a serious hemorrhage problem because you're not getting blood to the brain. She calls 911. Paramedics show up. Fire department shows up. They take my blood pressure. It's 60 over zero and falling. Things are not looking good down at the old campground by this time. So they load me up in the ambulance, and the ambulance drivers are talking to each other, and I can hear them. And they say, we don't even need to drive fast. This guy's not even going to make it to the hospital. And I thought, you know, if I wasn't so weak, I'd stop in the middle of the next intersection and whip both these guys. But as luck would have it, I did make it to the hospital. They wheeled me in, put me in one of those little rooms on the gurney, and one of the doctors who I knew came in, and he said, listen, he said, do you have a living will? And I said, no, I got a regular will. I didn't even know what a living will was. And he said, well, you're going to need a living will, I think. And I said, what's that? And he said, well, that's where we can unplug life support if things go bad on you. And he said, because you're hemorrhaging and turtling. You've got A-negative blood, and we don't have, that's a very short supply. We're going to have to switch over to O if we find that. We're real short on blood. You've lost so much now that I don't think you're going to make it through the night. We've already told your wife. And so I said, well, just do what you have to do, and I don't think it's my time, but let's do what we have to do. He said, we got 5 doctors here tonight. And I said, no, sir, you got 6. You got God working with you. You listen to him, and I'm putting him in charge, and we'll see what happens. When we come back from the break, we'll see what happens.
All right, folks. I'm Alex Jones. We're talking to Colonel Craig Roberts. We'll come back and tell you where he went when he died.
Thanks.
Well, I won't back down. I won't back down. I won't be turned around, my friends. You know the truth about the world and powers that are fighting each other. It's very easy to commit yourself to the fight against the globalists. But if you don't believe in God, if you don't have faith, if you don't understand that there is good and evil in the world, if you have this moral relativist view, you're going to be like a little cork being batted around in the ocean. You're not going to have a rudder. Colonel Roberts, you had described the story when I was riding with you in Oklahoma on our way back from Missouri on the expo we did, about how you're fading out as the doctor's saying, hey, you better tell us what your living will is. Doesn't look like you're going to make it. You had told me that, and that you said, no, you know, there's a sixth doctor here. It's God. It's not just the five people that are here. What happened next? What did you experience?
Well, an orderly came in to prep me for whatever they were going to do, and he started to put a tube down my nose, and then instantaneously, that was it. I was so quickly transported to another place that it was there's no way to describe how quickly it happened. It's instantaneous. And I was sitting in a large room, and it was dark. I couldn't really see. And the only reason I know it was a room is because when you get there, you just know. You know these things. It's not something you have to see or perceive or have measurements or anything like that. It's just all of a sudden you have this ability to know what's going on around you, see things, and it's like an instant download of knowledge. And I'm sitting there, and I'm very comfortable, and it's cool, and I feel great. There's no one else in there with me except somebody standing right behind me. I don't feel like this is a bad place. I feel like this is a good place, but it's not the ultimate place that I'm going. It's a waiting room, so to speak. It's probably the size of a medium-sized school auditorium in size. That's how I felt. It wasn't, you know, like an 8-foot ceiling or anything. It was just like a big place. And there was a door to my left, or a portal, or some type of entryway or exitway that led to this life. That's the one I had come through. And to my right was one that I would leave if I was taken on beyond this point. I would be taken through that door to the next stage. As I sat there, I knew that this life was through the door to the left. It's behind me, and it didn't really matter anymore. I didn't have any feeling of loss. I didn't have any feeling of missing my family or any of that sort of thing. I felt wonderful. And I felt like I was probably 21, 22 years old in peak condition. And this is important because everything that I was feeling was just exactly the opposite of how I felt one half of a second ago. I was in pain, I was sick, I was weak, and now I was young and I was strong and I felt good. I didn't really notice that I was wearing anything in particular or that I even I didn't even look at my body or feel myself. I just knew I was there. And then right behind me was a being. And the best way I can describe that, and this is really hard to describe because it's one of those things, until you get there, you just don't really absorb the whole scene and understand what's going on. It's like trying to describe a McDonald's restaurant to a cannibal in New Guinea. I mean, they just don't picture it. And this being is standing behind me, and I know right then that exactly who it is. It's somebody who had been with me my entire life, ever since I could remember. And he was my childhood playmate that was invisible. I think we all had those guys. He had helped me defend the Alamo as Davy Crockett when I was a kid growing up in the 50s on my backyard fence. He had been with me in Vietnam. I mean, this guy had been with me all my life. And I had nicknamed him Joe when, for some reason or other, back when I was a kid. And of course, as we get older, we forget about those things. Well, here was Joe, and he was a great big guy. I think he's probably 7 feet tall. And he was behind me. I didn't turn around and look at him, but I just knew he was there. And he had his hand on my right shoulder, but he wasn't touching me. It was just kind of there. It was kind of just hovering over my right shoulder, but I could feel the force or the energy from it. And the feeling was, everything's okay, I'm with you, and I'll be with you as we go from here. And I also knew, by the way, and this is the part I want to really put out to everybody, I also knew, by the way, this is my guardian angel. This is the guy that took care of me a lot of times when I couldn't take care of myself, but he's also the guy that keeps track of everything you do in life. He's the guy who they don't have to write it down. It's like this giant computer chip in them or something, but they remember and see everything, so it's like a massive CD-ROM disk that they can carry that's got all the information of everything you ever did in your life, good and bad. Because, you know, the old question comes up of, yeah, you read the Bible, you go to church, and you say, okay, in the end, we got to bow down on our knee and we're held accountable for everything we do. Well, that's impossible. How's God going to know what everybody does? There's billions of people out here, and there's millions that came before, and there's no way that he's going to know everything that everybody did. Well, let me tell you what, he doesn't have to. The other guy does, and he reports he's standing there right next to you. So I'm
that's waiting. Just the witness. That's just the witness. God does obviously know everything. Stay there. We'll come back and tell folks what happened next.
We're on the march. The Empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Hello. Jones back live. Thanks for joining us. We're at the halfway point of the show. We're going to continue in this hour talking about life after death and what Colonel Craig Roberts experienced and what members of my family, my uncle experienced when they died and were revived and what they experienced. But in the case of Colonel Roberts, he died. They were walking off and he came back. We'll get to that here in just a few minutes. We'll also take calls on this subject. Then we'll get into the New World Order, the monkeypox, the plans to attack all these other countries, and a basic overview of where the globalists are right now and a smorgasbord of key news and information. But before we go back to Colonel Roberts here in just a few minutes, I drug Jim Shepherd back onto the airwaves because last week we had a special, and there were 180 of these total. And now there's only about 30 left of the Big Berkey, Berkey Light with a super black filter. The best thing out there, folks, you know, I wouldn't steer you wrong. This is what I drink out of. I drink out of the original Berkey, and now I've got one of the new ones. A whole pallet of these fell over, and they just have small scratches on them. Some of them they can't even find a scratch on, but they're damaging all of them, you know, saying they're damaged, and selling them for $149 instead of $200. Now, $200 is already a great deal, and if you want one that doesn't have a scratch, pay $200. Yeah. You know, my wife's kind of like that. She wants something that's perfect, you know, nothing wrong with it. But this is a great deal. I would take advantage of it. Only a few of these left, and we won't be doing this deal again. This is it on this scratch and dent sale. Last time we had one of these was about a year ago on this show. They've got a bunch of other filters. They're top of the line. Jim, what do you have to offer for folks today other than that deal as well? I know you've got several other package deals and the sports bottles, the portable filter bottles, the potassium iodate to protect against a nuclear attack that you take so your thyroid doesn't absorb the radiation. A lot of different key items that folks get a great price on because you're a big national distributor, the national distributor of Berkey products. Tell us all about it.
Okay, well, first of all, with respect to the stainless steel units, we had a little bit more scratch and dents from time to time on those, but we never did have 186 all at one shot. And but the reason why we would have scratch and dents on those, Alex, is because stainless steel scratches. Lectan really doesn't scratch unless you just get a pallet that falls over or something like that, and that's basically what happened. So we had 186 of these that were came all at once, and that was basically because I forgot to strap in the shipment on the truck. I don't think that is going to happen again. So anyway, we've got about 30 of these left, and then, like you said, $50 off. Now, if you want to add an extra $50 to it, we'll include three sport bottles, or three potassium iodate, or mix and match. So you can get the Berkey light without the LED lamps for $149, add $50 to that, and you get three Berkey Sports or potassium iodate or mix and match.
By the way, similar sports bottles at the sporting goods store, $35 to $42, and these are top-of-the-line portable sport filters, great for work, great for camping, great for your car, to stop drinking the filthy tap water.
Well, and, you know, in our sport bottles, you know, we've designed them so that they not only remove parasites, they remove pathogenic bacteria. To my knowledge, we're the only sport bottle that actually has tested successfully to remove pathogenic bacteria, which is something that you want to do if you got to get your water from a lake, pond, or stream. Removes radon. We even take out the heavy metals, the lead, and so forth, the mercury, aluminum. And so the sport bottles are top-tier sport bottles. Most of the sport bottles out there just simply, you know, make the water taste better.
Well, Jim, you know, I bought Big Berkey's through one of your distributors and paid more a few years ago. I've got three of them now. Two I got from somebody else, one I got from you last year. But we had bought sports bottles as part of our emergency preparedness kit from other companies and paid like $39 a piece for them. And it's a tiny little half-inch filter that's in it. With your sports bottle, it's a much bulkier filter unit. It's much heavier. Is that all the extra components? Or?
Yeah. Well, and I'll tell you something else. We use a proprietary technology on our sport bottle. And on our black Berkey filter elements, the ones that are in the Berkey lights.
So that's three sports bottles.
There is nothing like it. It's two or three generations ahead of what anybody else is producing out there in the market. People are trying to figure out how we're doing it. We're not telling them. But it is just a leapfrog forward, and there isn't another filter element out there that would compete with the black Berkey.
Okay, so you've got the big Blacky super filters, and then you've got your sports bottles, three for $50. I challenge you folks to find them any less expensive. And you've only got 30, I think you said what we talked to Debbie, 32 or something left.
Yep.
But you're actually got a few more than that, but you want to be, I think, like 35 or something, but you want to be careful that you don't take people's orders and not have them.
The mail-in orders, they'll hear it on the phone. They tell us that they're mailing them in, so we have to kind of set those aside.
Yeah, so you've got a few that are set aside. So really you've only got like 30 left. And a few that are already going, I guess somebody said they're mailing a check. How do folks call and get the information or order the products?
You can reach us at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438. You can also go up to our website and take a look at the unit. It's at www.berkeylight.com. And the reason why it's called a Berkey light is because you do also have an option of having the LED lamps in the base. And during the scratch and dent special, that's an extra $50. Normally they sell for $69. And so that would be $199. Now these are expensive LED lamps. They have 100,000 hour life, which is 11 years continuous burning. It has internal rechargeable batteries. They'll burn all night long if you have an emergency, a power outage, bright enough that you can read by, bright enough that it'll put a glow throughout the room so that you can see everything in a room.
Now, Jim, for those that don't know, it's normally $269 for the filter and the light unit, but it's $149 right now with the scratch and dent. Then you get the lights for $50, so that's $200 instead of $269 with that deal.
That's right, $199, and then you can go ahead and add on the extra $50 special and get three sport bottles or three potassium iodate, or you can mix it, match it in whatever quantity.
All right, that number is 1-888-803-4438. Last time we're doing the scratch and dent because they're gone, 1-888-803-4438, and if you call and it's busy, leave your name and number because operators get busy, they'll call you right back. Or call them later this afternoon or even tonight. But go ahead and make the call. Make sure you get your filter. 1-888-803-4438. Real technology. Take control of your life. Stop drinking all the trash they put in the water. It's an important thing to do to take control of your life in at least one facet. And your body's 70% water, folks, so this is a big area of your life. 1-888-803-4438. 803-4438. Jim, thanks for coming on.
Hey, Alex, one more thing. You know, there's a lot of people that have already bought the scratch and dents, and we didn't offer the $50 add-on special with the three sport bottles. Folks, if you did purchase one of the scratch and dents and you want to avail yourself of the $50 add-on special, go ahead and call in, and we'll go ahead and honor that for you as well.
That is a good deal. Thanks for your support, and thanks for the great products, Jim. All right, 888-803-4438. I have no problem promoting high-quality water filters, folks. It's something you need, just like guns, storable foods. But with a water filter, you'll use it day one. You'll use it every day. And just stop drinking what they put in the water. All right, Colonel Roberts, thanks for holding. While I had Jim on, continuing, recapping, you're hemorrhaging to death. You've been weakened by chemotherapy. You are transported to this place. You've got your guardian angel with his hand on your shoulder, and all this information is being downloaded into your mind. Same thing my uncle told me when he died six times on the operating table. His brain literally out on the stretcher, literally, his skull was totally shattered away. But you're there. Please continue with what happened. And then what's really incredible, when you came back to life and what the doctors told you, go ahead.
Well, the one thing that was beginning to happen was I was receiving information, and this information was, the first thing, it was an acknowledgement that I was there and that a decision was being made, and the decision would be to take me on or to send me back. And I thought later, you know, when I reflected back on that, I thought, you know, well, isn't this ingenious? Because sometimes we may be running into people on the street who've already been there and been sent back because they've had information to bring back, so we really need to listen to people. Maybe there's somebody out there who has some information that we need to hear. So anyway, I'm sitting there, and I feel fine. I don't have a problem with anything. I'm not even thinking about this life, because it's like leaving one end of your house and going to the other end. You don't think about the part you just left. It isn't relevant, because now you're someplace else. So as I'm sitting there, I feel like I'm getting all kinds of different information. A lot of it I don't understand what it is. I don't know what it means, other than the fact that later on it could be valuable, and I may have to draw upon this information for people that I run into on down the road. The decision was made to send me back. And what happened was very, very interesting, in the fact that I felt like I had been gone maybe 3 minutes. But at the same time, I have to say that there was no feeling of time. Time didn't mean anything there. Time was not a factor in anything. But in the human clock, I thought maybe this entire process of me sitting there while the decision was made, while I was given information, was maybe 3 minutes. Now, this is interesting, because I all of a sudden had changed positions again. I changed places, and I opened my eyes, and I'm on a bed in the intensive care unit. And I signal for the nurse, and she comes running in there, you know, and then she calls for the doctor, and the same doctor happened to be on duty, and came in, and what's interesting, it was 18 hours later. I felt I was gone maybe 3 minutes, and it was 18 hours had passed. So he comes in, and he just white as a sheet. He said, I can't believe it that you made it. He said, this is absolutely incredible. He said, we lost you on the operating table. And I said, what do you mean? He said, you flatlined for 3 minutes. And that's the amount of time I felt like I was gone. So where was I the other 18 hours? I don't know. But instantaneously, I had been transported back from that little three-minute time window that I can remember. And I'm here to tell you, this was not a dream. This was not something that some kind of a hallucination to chemical imbalances because you're dying or anything else. They had lost me. I was gone. I remember explicitly what happened. And now I'm back. So some of the information I got, one of them, it said, Roberts, get off of that poison. Get off of chemotherapy. Quit it. I will heal you. And so I quit going to chemotherapy after that, and I started getting stronger. I started getting better, and I had to go in and see the chemo doctor, the oncologist, who was an old retired Army colonel himself. And he said, you know, I said, you're going to be dead a year from now if you don't keep up for the chemo. I said, no, I said, a year from now, you're just not going to have as much money, because I'm not coming back. And I went to I started doing a lot of research on natural supplements, vitamins, minerals, herbs, all of this sort of thing, and finding out what we needed to do to get our bodies back in balance and regain health. And everything just started coming back to me. And within about 4 months, I was in pretty good shape. And I went in and had an MRI, and they could find absolutely no trace of cancer anywhere. And I'm going to have credit a lot of this to God because I did a whole lot of praying, too.
And how many years ago was that?
That's been 5 years now.
And you look great when I saw you in person for somebody that survived all of this. Now, you were telling me the story in the car when we were driving back from Kansas City at the Expo back to Oklahoma. And I'm going back from memory, but is my memory accurate that you said that they had given up, too, that you had died, that they weren't, at that point, they were basically just getting you ready and, you know, putting the toe tag on, and that you came back, or...
Well, what had happened was they leave you hooked up for a certain period of time to make sure, and they had finally said, okay, it's been about 3 minutes, let's just unhook him. And just as they started to do whatever it was to disconnect me from this world, the heartbeat came back on the monitor. And so they said, wait a minute, we've got a heartbeat here. And then it got stronger, and then I was comatose, and they pretty much said, well, you were in a coma, but, you know, that's to be expected. So the only thing we could do is put you in ICU and monitor you. So they didn't really do anything for me other than give me blood. So I'm sure that giving me blood had a lot to do with it, considering how much I'd lost. But they never opened me up. They never did anything to repair the hemorrhage. It was a massive internal stomach hemorrhage. And they never did anything to repair that. They figured that, they'd keep me alive till I died and then, you know, tote me off to the morgue. And as it turned out, because of the experience that I had, there was a healing that had occurred in spite of what they did at the hospital. And because of that, the hospital really didn't do anything, so they kept me for a week, and they gave me antibiotics and, you know, stuff, that whatever they put in your IV while you're there, but they didn't do an operation or anything like that. And a week later, they wheeled me out and sent me home, and over the next 2 to 3 weeks, I kept getting stronger and stronger, and finally I was able to eat again. And after that, the rest became history. But the important point here was I was sent back because I had done a lot of work and received a lot of information over the years in my research work, plus what I was told when I was gone, to continue on doing what you and I are doing now, and that's getting information out to people and telling them, look, you have a life you have to live right now. You better live it correctly, because later on you're going to have to answer for it anyway. So don't be a coward. Fight the New World Order. Fight evil. Fight Satan. That's what you're here for. You know, it's almost like, I look at it kind of like it's a recruiting ground. We're recruiting for the good army, and the bad guy's recruiting for the bad army, and you got to make a choice. And we want the very best. You know, we don't want the mud, we want the diamonds. So that's the way we need to live our lives right now, and we need to get on board, and we need not to fear anything. That's the biggest thing. We don't need to fear anything. Fear is something the devil has.
Absolutely, and... Colonel, again, for those who just joined us, my uncle was in a accident on a motorcycle, died 6 times, a couple times in the ambulance, several times at the hospital, and he actually went up through that waiting room you talked about, through the tunnel into heaven, and my uncle starts crying when he tells his story, and he was told by angels, you're going back. And then when he came back, woke up, and there was my grandmother there praying for him. So, I mean, that's amazing. And people need to know that this is real. And these stories go back for thousands of years. People have written down these experiences. And that's why the world wants you to be corrupt. That's why the television has gotten so evil with the sex and the drugs and they want to destroy your soul, folks. And I've studied the New World Order. They publicly are devil worshippers. I mean, they know there's a God. They know there's a Satan. We'll talk about it when we get back. You better wake up, people. Alex Jones.
Waging war on corruption. Alex Jones on the GCM Radio Network.
You know, I talk about bills, documents, news articles. I go out and cover things myself. I read legislation. And I don't have one of these shows where we talk about ghost stories and flying saucers. I talk about real things, but shaping my life, I've had experiences. And I'm not going to get any detail on this, maybe someday. I mean, this is the first show I've done like this in the 9 years I've been doing this. But I, from the time I was a child, and it only happens once every few years, will have a dream. I will tell people about the dream, vividly image it, and it will happen at a later date, a month, 6 months, a year later. And a lot of people ask, how did I know about 911? How did I get on the air? Never done this before. I said, call the White House, call Congress, tell them not to use bin Laden to attack New York as their patsy. And I had the evidence, I had the information, but frankly, folks, we never said this on the air, I had a dream where I saw the towers hit. Colonel Roberts, I didn't even share that with you in the car, but I just feel that I need to share this with people. Do you have any comments to what I've just said?
Well, you know, a lot of people are selected to receive premonitions. They're usually sensitive people, and you know, there's times when I developed kind of a sixth sense along that line. So yes, it's out there. I know in Vietnam, a lot of guys developed that what we call the jungle sense, where you knew ahead of time on a patrol at nighttime that down the trail was a tripwire, or across the rice paddy was a sniper. You could just feel it. You just knew it. You didn't have to have information, but it happened ahead of time. You could see it in your mind's eye, so to speak. So that stuff does happen. A lot of people have dreams. My mother and my grandmother were that way. They were very receptive to dreams that did come true later on. So this is something that's been reported through history. You know, like you say, it goes back thousands of years where people have had premonitions. They were called different things. They were called seers. They were called dreamers. They were called prophets sometimes, and even witches. But depending on what part of history you're in, the fact remains that I think God does give us information in a timely fashion to people to spread it out. We become the watchmen on the wall.
Well, I would think, obviously, too, that the devil tries to do that with his minions, but he doesn't control the cosmos. He tries to manipulate events and will try to point his people in that direction.
Right. He's the guy that will tell you the sky is red and you're supposed to believe it.
Well, now, obviously, in 5 hours in your car driving back from Kansas to Oklahoma, where I got back in my truck and went to Texas, you told me a little bit more about you know, you're there in heaven or in the waiting room, and the angel was, God was transmitting more information, more knowledge. You want to share any areas of that with the listeners?
Well, there's one of the things was that I would receive a lot of information that I would bring back, but I wouldn't know when to use it until something happened, or until I ran into somebody that I needed to tell or talk to about something, or somebody would ask me a question, and it was like opening a filing cabinet. I would have a file on that, and I could pull it out, and I could share what I brought back with me. But at the same time, I was also giving information, a mission assignment, so to speak. Go out and talk to people. Don't stop writing about it. Don't stop exposing evil. Continue to fight the good fight, and have other people do the same thing. Tell people, you know, there's one thing to do research and sit at home or listen to the radio and prepare yourself and click your lips together, but it's a totally different thing to turn around and recruit other people to fight the good fight, to talk to other people, to share the information. You can't be afraid to do this. You know, there's
Colonel, that's my mission. I mean, that's the drive that I have, is to warn people to tell folks to be leaders themselves and to force multiply.
Hey, you can't have an army of nothing but privates to sit back in the barracks. You know, you've got to go forward. You've got to set up a chain of command. You've got to come up with a plan, and you've got to do intelligence gathering. It's a military operation in the sense that we have to fight evil on every plane. And I told you in a car that there are two wars going on.
Tell you what, stay there. We'll come back in the third hour. Stay with us.
Through the years of providing water filters to America, you come to us and we...
Thanks for listening to the M2K Talk.
Big brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Already, end of the third and final hour of this worldwide broadcast. I'm Alex Jones. We're going to get into the overview of what the globalist New World Order forces are doing using terror to corral us into accepting their New World Order. The news of the day that ties into this discussion, the $1 trillion missing from the Pentagon. We'll discuss it with Colonel Craig Roberts. We'll get into the different developments that he sees developing from the evidence that we have out there about what the enemy is up to. There's a lot of key info coming up in this hour, and I know we already have callers like Wesley in Tennessee and others that are holding. If you'd like to join us on air, the toll-free number is 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231. My websites are Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. Last hour, I did something that we've never done on this show. We got what some would call into the paranormal, but you listen to these establishment talk shows, it's all disinformation and basically propaganda with a whole New Age twist to it. But my uncle was in an automobile accident, motorcycle accident, died six times on the operating table, went into a coma for weeks. When he came out of it, he'd been to heaven, he'd seen the angels, he'd been back. Colonel Craig Roberts had the same thing happen to him 5 years ago. He died, was dead for 3 minutes. He just told his experiences. It's real. It really does happen. And the problem is that a lot of people know this is true, so the enemy has a lot of quacks and people out there putting out disinfo. Again, the globalist, the devil, always has their counterfeits, basically. That's why I've always stayed away from it. But I have had experiences, and I think now's the time to talk about them, at least a little bit, where I've had dreams, my friends, that come true with the same images, the same color, the same detail. And one of those dreams was about 911 months before, and I had all my other evidence and my sources, but that's why I got on the air and said that call the White House, call Congress, tell them don't use bin Laden as their patsy to attack New York to set up a police state. Because I had a dream where that happened. It was very upset when I got up from the dream. I know when I have these dreams, which I rarely do, that it's real, that it's going to happen. I learned this when I was young, and I've never talked about this, but I think it's important to discuss because there is another side. And there's a lot of things that science hasn't discovered and may never discover. Colonel Roberts, continuing with any other comments you have about this, we'll go to break and come back and take calls. Do you have any other comments, Colonel?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, what we have to realize is that we are spiritual beings. We have a spirit inside of this thing, this container we call a body. And we are connected to that world, and a lot of people want to deny that. They think, okay, I'm chemicals, I'm electrical charges, when you're dead, you're dead. The thing about it is, there is a spiritual war and a physical war going on all around us right now. We may not be able to see the spiritual war, but I'm here to tell you it exists and it's happening, and the angels are fighting the demons. The physical war is what we're doing right here today, standing firm against the Satan and his New World Order globalist socialist crowd. And the thing about it is, nobody out here who denies that all of this is happening is going to be able to see it unless we open their eyes, we open their ears, and we say, look, this stuff's happening. This is not the world we lived in 50 years ago. It's not the world we lived in 25 years ago. It's happening so fast right now that these guys are rushing to apocalypse, so to speak.
Well, Colonel Roberts, the Bible says that some will be given to great delusion, and that God won't allow some people's eyes to be opened.
Well, and it says, don't cast your pearls before the swine, lest they turn and rend you. So we know that there are people out there that are ostriches. And, when we lecture, we tell people that you can't get across to everybody and don't waste your time with them. But your mission is to give them the information. What they do with it after that's their choice. God gives everybody one thing, and that's the right to make your own decisions. And if we make it to the good side, fine. If we make it to the bad side, well, woe unto you.
The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Said in his heart. And believe me, I studied the globalists. They believe in the devil, as Tony Brown has said. When you research the facts, it's clear who we're fighting.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
We're talking about near-death experiences, death experiences. Colonel Craig Roberts had one. My uncle had one. This is real. You cannot avoid or ignore it. And when you study the globalist, Colonel, I mean, they admit Skull and Bones. They admit it is a satanic group founded in 1832 by the German Illuminati in New Haven, Connecticut. Three of our presidents, a bunch of our CIA directors, all these, John Kerry, the senator, they're into this. I go to Bohemian Grove. They're worshiping Moloch, the Canaanite god. They know this is real. They have chosen the dark side. But then it's announced, and we covered it on the air, and some people say, we're weird for talking about it, but somehow the leaders aren't bad for being into it. That shows that great delusion with the public. I mean, the evidence of the globalists being into the occult, being into Satanism, Colonel, would you like to speak to that and speak to Skull and Bones and Bohemian Grove?
Well, you know, when I was working on my book, The Medusa File, I kept running into people who were involved in organizations that were highly into the occult, going back decades and decades. In fact, over, I chased some of these people and their families back over 200 years, and about the time of Adam Weishaupt and the Illuminati, some were already in an occult organization. Some of them joined then or shortly thereafter, but they seemed to keep their entire family in there, and they set up their own schools and their own secret societies and so on to perpetuate this thing, such as Skull and Bones and Scroll and Key and all the rest of this stuff. So, it's there, and they believe in it. They know it to be true. They have elected to take power in this world versus eternal life in the next one, because I think a lot of them don't believe there is eternal life in the next one. Or they've done another thing, and that's, I call it the switchy-changey, where they say, okay, Satan is the real God, and he's in charge of heaven, and the other God's Adonai, and he's really in charge of hell. So I'm going to go with Satan into the real heaven because he's the God of light. And that's kind of scary when people get recruited through that lie to go that direction. So, yes, it's out there. These people believe in it. They're active in it all the time. And it works, I'm sure, because, Satan told Jesus, I'll give you the entire world if you follow me. And he could have given them power in this world. When these other people say, Satan, I'll follow you. You give me power in this world. You put money in my bank account, you know. We see these same people get all the way to the top in the New World Order crowd. They're the ones that started the UN. They're the ones that populate the UN. And the UN's just a stepping stone to what happens next. But it's happening so fast right now that it's alarming. 10 years ago, we wouldn't even talk about this stuff probably. We wouldn't even known it was happening. But because of what's happened in the last 10 years, it's so plain. It's so apparent. Pretty much the rest of the world has fallen. The United States is the only one that has a hope and the only one that's left. Right now that hasn't been disarmed, hasn't been taken over, hasn't fallen into the globalist camp. And if we can't see that, Alex, we're lost. We're blind, we're deaf, we're dumb, we're stupid, and we need whatever's coming down the pike.
Absolutely. Let's talk to Wesley in Tennessee. Wesley, thanks for holding. You're on the air. Go ahead, sir.
Alex, it's just because of fine, decent, and honest men like yourself and Craig that you help break the chains of slavery. And what I mean by that is that when Christ admonished us that ye shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free, what you guys do when you bring us the truth is break those chains that make us slaves to ignorance. And I appreciate it so much, I really do. That's probably the best thing that the people like yourself do. You help break the chains of ignorance. My wife just made, this is just a heads up, my wife made a flight from here in eastern Tennessee up north to visit relatives, and flew on American Eagle planes, which are owned wholly by American Airlines, and painted next to the passenger door, the entrance door to those planes, were the words, One World. The second thing I wanted to tell you was that 3 days, 3 nights in a row before 911, I had a dream that bothered me, and it was much different than yours, Alex. What I saw was the aftermath after the towers had collapsed. I had this vision of billowing clouds of dust and paper and junk just flying every place, and people in business suits and T-shirts and blue jeans, just average ordinary people just running away from those clouds. And I couldn't put it together until the day of the attack, and it just has always bothered me since that I just didn't get a full enough picture to really understand what was happening. The last story I'd like to share with you is about a friend who passed away on an operating table. And the reason why I really believed the story that he told me was that he said he appeared before the throne of God. He could see the legs and the feet of Jesus and the nail wounds in his feet, but he couldn't see anything above the waist of Jesus because the light was too bright for him to make out the upper half of his figure. But the thing that struck me about that dream, Alex, was the fact that what he did see was that there was a soft light everywhere, and everywhere he looked, there were no shadows. And I remembered a scripture from the Bible that said that the sun and the moon wouldn't give off their light anymore, but that Christ would give off that light. And if Christ gives off that light, then there wouldn't be any shadows because the light would come from every direction.
Well,
God bless you guys. Thank you so much for giving me the time to share this with you, and just keep breaking those chains of ignorance for us.
Well, thanks for the call, Wesley. That's an interesting story. Do you have any comments to what he just said, Colonel Roberts?
Well, I've run into that story before where there was light everywhere and no shadows. So, yeah, there's a lot of credibility to that. And you know, when people can show that they have been in a situation, a traumatic situation on a battlefield where they've, you know, been wounded and they've lost them and on the battlefield. And I've talked to guys during the, you know, a lot of the books I've written about military history. I wrote a book called Combat Medic Vietnam, and these were the docs that went out and, you know, worked on guys while the bullets were flying around. And they had some stories to relate that, you know, about these guys who died and then came back and had similar experiences. You know, some of them saw a light, some of them didn't. But you know, Alex, there's other experiences that we didn't talk about, and those are the guys who have died and fell down a pit they got hotter the farther down they fell. They knew they were going to hell, and the only reason they got out of it is they were screaming Jesus' name all the way down. Now, there's people out there who've documented this, who flatlined in the hospital. They've got the medical records. You know they were dead. And they have no reason to fabricate this stuff. So that kind of shows there is another side to the coin on this deal that I would be real, yeah.
Well, why don't you describe that, and we'll come back and take some more calls.
Okay, the one of them was, I was doing a bunch of research in this area after my own experience because I was really interested to find out just if anybody else had the same experience I had. And I stumbled across this what happens if you don't go to heaven area. And it was a doctor who was playing golf on a Sunday. And a storm came in, and he got struck by lightning. And it turned out he was playing with some other doctors, and they one of them was a heart surgeon, a cardiac specialist. And so they started trying to do CPR on this guy, and they lost him. But they kept working on him anyway, and they brought him back, and they thought everything was fine. They, you know, they're going to take him to the hospital. He says, "No, I'm not going to the hospital. I'm going to church." He says, "I don't belong here." He says, "I've got to go pray and say thanks to the Lord." He said, "Because I just got saved from hell." And they said, "What are you talking about?" So he related the experience of he was laying on the ground. He started to float above his body, and he saw them working on him. And then all of a sudden, this big pit opened right next to his body, and he just fell down this pit, or was thrown down this pit. And as he was going down this pit, he said, "I could feel claws of demons coming out, pulling at my flesh." He says, "I've never been so terrified in my life." He said, "You cannot understand ultimate fear until you found yourself falling down this bottomless pit." He says, "But I knew at the bottom somewhere, it was hot and it was hell and it was the furnace of the devil." And I can't relate the exact words he said, so I have to paraphrase. He said, but then he said, I started saying, "Oh, save me, Jesus. Oh, save me, Jesus." He says, "I almost knew it was too late for that because of the way I'd lived my life." But he says, "But then all of a sudden I felt myself coming back up." He says, and the farther up I came, the faster I came. And when I came out, he says, I all of a sudden I was back in my body and I opened my eyes and you guys are here and I'm going to church. And that's kind of basically where that story went. That's, kind of condensed.
Well, there have been other people have said a similar thing. My uncle I mean, just said, and he's only told me the story a few times. He starts crying when he tells it, and he didn't tell people for years. It was so shocking to him, but just these crystal cities and colors and light, he said, that you couldn't describe, and the feeling of peace. You know, similar to what you were saying, but you just got to the waiting room. We're going to break and come back and talk to Bob in Colorado and others, but when you're there in the waiting room, to heaven, and you're dead on the operating table, and they've walked away from you, you know, your body at this time, what else did you get from your guardian angel? What else before they sent you back did they tell you?
Well, I think one of the key things that there's no reason to have any fear of death, that there is no death. Death doesn't happen. What it is you pass from this existence into the next one. You leave this body that's old and broken and worn out behind, and you get a new one, so to speak, that never wears out. I guess it's kind of a spiritual body, but I felt like I was in a real body. It didn't feel any different as far as the aspect of I wasn't floating around in a cloud of mist, so to speak, and I didn't see anything with it had wings flapping around. It was just like, okay, I was there, now I'm here, and now we have to go to the next stage and get ready to fight the battle against evil in the spiritual world. Because it's not over yet. And it's not over.
What was the message you told me in the car was you're going back to fight the New World Order?
Pretty much, yeah. I don't know that the term New World Order came up. I think it was you're going back to continue the fight against Satan. And the picture in my mind was it was the global socialists that were under Satan that we have to fight against. We have to maintain our own identities. We have to stand firm for God against evil. And my job was to take all my military experience, my police experience, and my capabilities as a writer and a communicator to go back and do just that, to continue to do it until I'm called home.
Absolutely. They can't threaten us with heaven, folks. 1-800-259-9231. Your calls. When we get back, stay with me.
Thanks for listening to the M2K Talk Archive.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
I'm going to take some more calls now on the subject we've been discussing with Colonel Roberts then in the next segment, or a little bit later in the next segment when we're done with calls. I'm going to get into some of the news of the day and get Craig's analysis on that. Bob in Colorado, you're on the air with Alex Jones and Craig Roberts. Go ahead, Bob.
Thank you, Alex, and thanks to you, Colonel Roberts. I just had one comment to make, but before this comment is... Colonel Roberts is right. It's not the death of this life that you have to fear. It's after the judgment. But on the comment that I have, the lies are coming so fast today, they're back to back daily. Now, sooner or later, more people are going to be catching on because they know what the de facto government has said yesterday and today, and they're coming out with lies just, you know, one after another. So they're going to have to do something other than talk a bunch of lies. They're going to have to do some action. And all I'm saying
is... You're talking about more terror to get us diverted off of all their lies. In fact, every week we post an alert with different stories saying government under pressure, government caught lying, watch out.
That's right. Well, what I'm trying to say to Radioland is, folks, you better get as liquid as you can because this can't go in the same tempo that it's going for the last few months. It can't continue because more and more people are catching on. And once they do, if we go into a deflationary period and people stop buying, this is a thing that the government fears more than anything.
Colonel Roberts, any comments to what he's saying? The big CEOs during the stock market rally are dumping their stock in unison. We now find out, Dallas Morning News, it's a $40-plus trillion debt. We've known that for years, but when we first learned it was $35 trillion, now it's $43-plus trillion. There's $1 trillion missing from the Pentagon. They're looting everything, setting up FEMA camps. What do you see happening? Greg?
We said that We're going to divert everybody's attention by having more wars and invasions overseas. We're going to do all this stuff that's happening right now. We predicted this a long time ago. And we know, and I've already said, these people plan decades in advance, not just months, but years in advance. And we're seeing top-level executives, top-level military people cushioning their own nest right now. They're bailing out corporations. They're letting corporations go down, and they're putting the money in their own offshore accounts and so on. I mean, you can go back to when Crandall retired just before Y2K at American Airlines and gave up that job and took the money and ran, so to speak. And then American, all of a sudden, after 9/11, started going down, a period of a year later. So we're seeing these manipulations at high levels where all of these people know what's going on. They've got staffs of experts to analyze what's going on politically, financially, economically around the world, and they know when to bail out. Now, they're using their golden parachutes.
So we're seeing rats leaving the sinking ship.
Yeah, the big rats. While the mice down here are sitting around waiting to see where the next piece of cheese is coming from.
Anything else you'd like to add, Bob?
No, but I would like to thank your guest, Colonel Roberts. I'd like to thank you and all of the radio people that put this show on and all of your listeners. And have a good day. Thank you from Western Colorado.
Thank you.
All right. Good to hear from you, my friend. Jeff in Missouri. Jeff, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hello?
Yes, Jeff.
Hello, Colonel Roberts and Alex. Good show today you have, Alex. You're dealing with really the root problem of what's wrong with this nation. I wanted to ask you something, Colonel Roberts. About 9 or 10 years ago, I did a 180 concerning the Second Amendment, and basically I was a pacifist for about my first 15 years as a Christian, and then the Lord did a turnaround in my heart. How do you see the aspect of reconciling a war, the heart of a warrior and the heart of a believer?
Well, it's all one and the same. If you go back to the Old Testament, you see where it's happened many, many, many times over. You know, I've had people come to me and say, now, you know, you can't be a warrior, you can't be a soldier, you can't be a Marine, you can't go off to war because it says thou shalt not kill. Well, that's not what it says. That's what the King James Version translates.
Thou shalt not commit murder, cold
blood.
That's
right. You go back to the Greek and the original writings, and it was thou shalt not murder, and that meant criminally murder somebody with malice aforethought. That does not mean you can't defend your family, your village, or whatever. There's been Christian warriors, throughout history, and the thing about it is,
David Samson, the founding fathers, the list goes on and on.
Sure, you have to be able to stand firm, and the only way you can stand firm is to be able to counter the enemy. It says, "He who lives by the sword shall die by the sword." Well, that means the enemy has the sword, and they're going to die by it as well. So, if they want to come at us with the sword, we'll let them die for it.
Well, okay. There's one specific thing that I know for sure.
Well, stay there, Jeff. I'll let you finish on the other side, then we'll talk to Bruce and others, and I'm going to get into some of the news. I'm Alex Jones, InfoWars.com.
We're on the march. The Empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Did, but somehow the general public today was convinced that our government didn't do bad things, or if it did, it was some rogue element, lower level. Well, we have corruption at the highest levels. They're nothing but marionettes, puppets on the strings of the Illuminati, of the globalists, of the big bankers, of these inbred families. And we need to expose them. People need to be warned about this. You need to have a fire in the belly to warn people about this system. It is so important. And I have found no better tool in the information war than my 9 documentary films. Take 9/11, The Road to Tyranny. 3 minutes of that 2.5-hour film details FEMA on video in Kansas City saying Christians, the founding fathers, are terrorists, are enemies of the government. Their training manuals were homeschoolers, Christians, gun owners, defenders of the U.S. Constitution. almost everybody wakes up and freaks out when they see that 3 minutes of the two-plus hour film. And it's all stuff like that in there. Too much to describe. We document who carried out September 11th. We document how they're getting rid of Posse Comitatus, put troops on the streets, the FEMA camps. We cover it all. You need to get 9-1-1, The Road to Tyranny. You need to get part two of that film, The Masters of Terror. You need to get my newest film, Police State 3, Total Enslavement. 2 hours and 37 minutes plus long. It's actually 2 hours and 40. I just properly timed it the other day. The videos are $25.95 apiece. If you order three or more of any of the nine videos, they drop down to $20. My book is Ascent into Tyranny. It's only $12 and covers 9-1-1 and government-sponsored terror. These are such vitally important messages to get out to the people. Or the globalists are going to continue to carry out terrorism and pose as our savior, saying, give your rights up, give your liberty up, and we'll give you security. That's a lie. Get the video. Make copies. Give them to people. Tell them to make copies. Air them on Access TV. Take action. And your purchase of the video supports this broadcast. So call toll-free right now. Get involved in the fight. Get involved in history. 1-888-253-3139. That's 888-253-3139. Or just write to me, I'm Alex Jones, at 3001, that's 3001, South Lamar, L-A-M-A-R, Suite 100, Austin, Texas, 78704, or go to Infowars.com or PrisonPlanet.com to order via our secure online shopping carts. Take action, order the videos, order the book, make copies of the movies, take action today. In fact, I didn't put you up to this, Colonel Roberts, but I'll spring it on you. Would you recommend my documentary films? I know I would certainly recommend your books, and I have, but I know that you took Road to Tyranny and made a lot of copies of that, and have you had a chance to see Police State 3 yet?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I got it, I watched it right after we got back from Kansas City, and was highly impressed. In fact, I've already made a few copies and put them in strategic locations with people who I know will make the most use out of them. You know, the only way we can get information out there is if I can get somebody to sit down and read what I've written, or you can get somebody to sit down and watch the television for a little bit, that's about the only way we've got to really give them detailed information beyond the 3 hours a day that you can do on the show.
Yeah, because if we just talk to them for 10 minutes, they can kind of ignore that and poo-poo it, as they say. But if they see the globalists saying and see the documents and see Ashcroft say there's no Patriot Act and then say there is a Patriot Act, that will wake people up.
Right. And by the way, I need to get my website out before we lose track of all
time. I'm just about to bring that up. Medusa File, I think, is your best book, but you've got a whole slew of them. Rifle-warrior.com is the website.
Actually, it's Rifle Warrior, one term, or one word.
That's right, riflewarrior.com.
That's
and
right.
What about a phone number or a mailing address?
Well, their mailing address is on the website, and there's no one to answer the phone because I'm gone all the time doing you know, all the stuff that we do. So basically, they can call on the telephone that's listed on the website and leave a message. We'll try to get back to them. But basically, if they'll get a copy of the Medusa File, and by the way, we're down to 1,000 copies left in the warehouse. That's all we've got right now. So,
and for those that don't know, you have been a best-selling author for the big Simon & Schuster's with your military novels. You've written for Time Life Books. But as soon as you started writing about the New World Order, which I think are your best books, they wouldn't touch them. So you're also self-publishing and doing a great job.
When I was sent back, some of the information was to keep it up and get the information out, and I wouldn't have to worry about whether or not the money would be there to republish or to reprint. It always seems to happen. In fact, an amazing thing happened. We were kind of getting to the point where we really didn't know if we could reprint the Medusa File, and Tex Mars called me up and ordered 10 cases, and with that order, we've got enough now to reprint Medusa File again. So God does take care of his people.
Oh, absolutely, and works through great folks like Tex. So, riflewarrior.com. Let's talk to Jeff. Jeff, one more comment from you, then we're going to Bruce, and then we're going to get into some news. Go ahead, Jeff.
So basically, the bottom line of the whole situation, gentlemen, is the fact that God is bringing us to a place where we have to depend on him and only him. And he had me do that about 25 years ago, because over the last 25 years, I've raised 9 kids without a social security number, without a credit card, without dealing with the banking system, and without the benefits of medical science or drugs, because none of my kids have ever seen the inside of a doctor's office. And it, as we have need, the Lord provides, but God only provides for those who choose to place a very simple trust in Him. And we're going to need to do that in the days to come and listen to what He's saying, because He's faithful.
Well, lead us, guide us, and direct us. And people saying, oh, you know, you're getting too religious on your show. Folks, turn on the nightly TV. It's all witchcraft shows. It's all the occult. It's all mysticism. They're selling us their religion. We have to stand up against them. And a lot of people see the phony Christians, the New World Order 501c3 Christians, and think, well, I don't want any part of that. That's another counterfeit. In fact, would you like to speak to that, Colonel Roberts?
Oh, yeah, well, you know, we're seeing more than that. We're seeing they're getting into where it's okay if you're homosexual. We're getting into, you know, it's okay if you lie. It's as long as you do it as a team. And it's not just the television. It's in the public school systems. They've not only taken over the media, they've taken over the educational systems. Now, that's where they get the youth, and that's the big problem we've got. They can't get you and me. We're too smart for that. And most of the listeners out there, they're not going to have a chance. But they know that, and they don't care. They're going for the kids. The same thing Hitler said. I don't care about you. I've got your children. They'll be in my camp, and you'll be gone.
Well, Josh Sugarman said, Violence Policy Center head, in the 2001 March 25th issue of the Statesman, he said, guns will be banned, but in the next generation, we have your children. You just watch. I mean, he arrogantly said it. How dare him?
Oh, yeah. And there, you know, it's mind control. It's MK Ultra at the top of the list. It's basically, okay, we're going to get your kids, and we're going to tell them that guns are bad, and by the time they grow up, they're going to turn in all your guns. So it's up to us to turn around and say, okay, kids, now I'm going to tell you the truth, and this is what it is, and don't you ever knuckle under to these idiots, because if we don't do it, no one else will.
Absolutely. Thanks for the call, Jeff. Bruce in Missouri. Go ahead, Bruce.
Has experiences also.
Okay, the first part of what you said got cut off. Go ahead and say it again.
I've had one of the death experiences also, like Colonel Craig Roberts.
For those that just joined us in the last hour, into this hour, we talked about Colonel Roberts' death experience, where he died on the operating table and went to heaven. And this is real. This really happens. Go ahead and tell us your story, sir.
When I was 15 years old, I had a seizure and I died. And when I first was able to recognize anything, it was total, absolute void of sound and light. And I started walking, then there was a faint pinpoint of light. I kept following that, and in the scriptures it says, wide is the path to destruction, narrow only a few find. That narrow path is real. You can only walk single file on it. I kept on walking on it, and light got a little bit brighter. Then I saw a stone head on the left and one on the right. They represented Lot's wife, who regretted giving up the things she had in Sodom and Gomorrah. Once I got past that, the light got extremely bright. And I don't know whether I said it verbally or telepathically, but these are the words. I have no regrets. I freely give up all things which are left behind. And the light got so brilliant, then Lord God Yahweh sent me back.
Wow. Well, that's my uncle saw a lot more than that, and he said it's indescribable. What he saw. Caller, you're talking to someone else. Just talk to us, and we can keep you on the air. Colonel Roberts, would you like to say anything about what Bruce just said?
Well, you know, I don't know what... there's so many different experiences of what people see, and it may relate back to what we expect to see or what we've done in this life. I don't know. The only thing I can do is tell you what I saw, because, you know, you and I both deal in facts, and we deal with what we know to be true, and sometimes we have to be real careful when we go into other areas where other people see things, and we can't really say, I don't believe that, it didn't happen, because we don't know. We just don't know. It's one of those things. However, there's been a lot of accounts that have talked about going toward the light, but the information I got before I was sent back was, At sometimes you must beware of the light, because Lucifer is a light bearer as well. So a light can also be a lie. And so I think that we should be real careful, you know, when you get to the other side, to evaluate the source of that light. And the only way you're really going to know in your heart that it's one you need to go toward is by knowing in your heart that you live this life correctly. Because if you didn't, you may be following the wrong light when you get there.
All right. Thanks for the call, Bruce. I appreciate that. And again, I want to recap before we leave this subject here and get into some of the news in the minutes we've got left with why I decided to talk about this today, because it did happen to my uncle, and I believe him 110%, when he died six times after he'd been in an automobile accident. Many other people I respect, this has happened to them. It's happened to you. And then we look at the real world, as we call it, this plane of matter, and the globalists are obsessed with the occult, and they'll tell you go any direction but Jesus Christ. And they're out there promoting all this evil. That's another incredible indicator of what this is really all about. And people have gotten so cynical, they think this life is it, and so they don't care about their family, their friends, anybody, the future generations. We need to get back to understanding that we're part of something larger, and that we wouldn't have all this freedom and liberty if people hadn't sacrificed before us. Do you see where I'm going with that, Colonel?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we can't forget that what's happening right now is it's okay to have the images and the paintings of any god except God, any god except Jesus. You know, you can have all the Muhammad stuff you want. You can have all the Hindu stuff you want. You can have all these other things. Why is it that now they've decided, like the ACLU, that the only ones they want to go after are the Christians? You know, now that's discrimination in its own part, but it doesn't seem like anybody listens to us when we complain about it. Our politicians certainly don't. A few of them try, but it's token resistance, so to speak. So this is a message. This is a message being sent to all of us that you are being prosecuted if you're a Christian. So, you know, wake up and smell the coffee here. Everybody else isn't, just you. Why? And that's the question we need to keep in the forefront at all times. Why us?
Absolutely. And look, I mean, the world's getting more and more wicked. Did you ever think you'd see him on the nightly news saying, the government just doesn't want to torture terrorist suspects, we want to torture their children? And then to have talking heads talk about how good it is, I have that in Police State 3. I mean, I never thought it would get that crazy this quick. Were you shocked seeing the talking heads and reading the newspaper where they said that don't just torture terrorist suspects, but torture their kids? I mean, that's the whole public partaking of this mass evil, a giant evil right out in the open.
Well, you know, when I saw that, what I saw really was some of the excerpts I saw back in the 50s and 60s of the trials at Nuremberg, where the Nazis were doing the same stuff. And it's almost like, okay, we changed uniforms, and instead of black and white, we're in color, but it's history repeating itself. Now we can go down and act like Nazis as well. We can do all of these things that we condemned everybody else for, you know. You look at in 1945 or 1946, we told the Nazis that it is illegal to follow an illegal order. You know, you have to resist. You can't just say, well, I was just following orders. But then we turn right around and we prosecute our own soldiers if they refuse an illegal order, such as putting on a UN blue beret. There's nothing in the oath that they take.
And going under UN command.
Absolutely. There's nothing in the oath of the military when you enter that says you have to serve as a mercenary under a foreign power or under some bogus government and office building in New York City that sits on a slaughter yard. But yet, when it comes down to it, all of a sudden Bill Clinton writes an executive order or something, or a PDD, and off we go to Never Never Land, marching away with blue berets. And we get, you know, one or two that sit there and say, I'm not going to do it. And they're persecuted and prosecuted for it.
That woman in Michigan court-martialing her because she wouldn't take the smallpox shot while breastfeeding. Bottom line, folks, they're trying to set the precedent that you are to follow insane, illegal orders.
Well, that's just it. You know, now it's okay for us to issue illegal orders to everybody. It's okay for our government to lie to us and then come out with Patriot 2 after they told us it didn't exist. And then later on it said, well, it's only draft form. It's in the Justice Department, and it's not going anywhere. And then all of a sudden we find out that, say, yeah, we've got it, we need it. And what surprises me, and I'm sure it surprises you as well, is that we haven't had a major terrorist event to try to get us off high center into getting that thing shoved through.
Colonel, I have to tell you, I think by being on the air, not just us, but hundreds of others, and the books and the tapes, the information, all the foreign news saying the government did it, I think they're a little bit concerned right now about launching another attack because they know so many people are getting wise to them.
Well, you know, it's like they're under scrutiny. They're in a microscope. They're living in a glass house. You know, one of the callers talked about it was so good to have the truth. Well, the truth is like a candle in a dark room. If you light a candle in a dark room, when your eyes adjust, you can see everything in the room. It pushes away all the darkness, and it only takes one candle. It only takes one match. And if we can continue lighting these candles and keeping the room from getting dark, I don't think there's any way they're going to be able to pull off another deal like they have in the past, such as Oklahoma City and 9/11 and all the rest of it, without a massive amount of scrutiny on the whole deal. It's, you know, they flogged that dog until he doesn't hunt anymore. So I'm still waiting to see if they're going to go ahead and try to do that, unless they can do it using eyewitnesses that see Arabs, that see this, that see that, and say, gee, we did everything we could.
Well, last time you got the paper passports at two of the airplane crashes, landing on the ground uncharred, saying it was Arabs, and they conveniently leave a bag in a car with their confession in it. And, you know, they're drunk at a topless bar, leaving their Quran, saying they're going to do it, and then it turns out a bunch of the hijackers are still alive. I mean, that was clearly the globalists trying to plant false evidence.
Well, and we had the same thing in Oklahoma City when they had, you know, Timothy McVeigh in bars with Iraqis in Oklahoma City and in Tulsa, you know. And
building a file, building a history.
That's creating a legend. And, you know, Lee Harvey Oswald passing out leaflets for the Fair Play Cuba Committee in New Orleans. McVeigh showing up at militia meetings and screaming and yelling to the point where they throw him out. I mean, you create the legend, you use the guy, then you throw him away.
Stay there.
Thanks.
All right, Alex Jones here, final segment. I want to talk to Mike in Tennessee, but we'll do that in a second. Colonel Roberts, the CIA is now saying they were pressured to lie and claim all these weapons of mass destruction. They just calmly announced that, and there's not a lot of furor over it. Does that concern you when they admit they're lying to us and then act like it's no big deal?
It concerns me when they admit that they lie, because I don't know if the CIA knows how to do anything else. I find it very hard to take anything anybody in the government says anymore unless I've personally known them for 10 years and done a recent background check.
About just the phenomenon of now admitting they're lying, but no one's held accountable?
Well, you know, but that's not the only time that's happened. We've had that happen over and over recently where we've caught people down and dirty, but no one prosecutes them.
Let's continue with this. It's like $1 trillion missing from the Pentagon. A female Marine on a troop-carrying attack ship, having the baby on board ship during the war. What does this say about a military that's got women as pregnant as a 20-pound watermelon having babies on board troop carriers?
Well, you know, when we got in the late 1970s, when we got away from the traditional military machine and got into what I call the politically correct military, we've really done a disservice to ourselves because of a bunch of feminist Nazis out running around out there in the NOW program and some of the ones in Congress. We have situations where we have women serving in combat roles or on combat vessels and combat aircraft, not necessarily flying, you know, on the front lines all the time, but close enough to where just because they're women, they're allowed to do this.
And now they're getting captured like Lynch. Shifting gears, we've got a few minutes left. I want to take a call. They're calling for compulsory national service now to get out of high school, work for Homeland Security, S-89. What do you think of that?
Well, it almost sounds like the Hitlerjugend. You know, we want your kids. You don't have to serve in the military if you'll serve in the SS. I mean, in the youth corps. If you study history, and this is the problem, is the revisionists in our schools have done away with a lot of the history.
So people don't know what history's been.
They don't know, and so they don't see the parallels, and the history repeats itself.
All right, riflewarrior.com. Let's real quick go to a call. Mike in Tennessee. Real quick, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Greetings, gentlemen, and thank you, Colonel Roberts. I'm 100% behind you on your testimony today, and I just want to see if you had any information on how we're supposed to prepare.
Okay, yeah. You have to prepare yourselves just like, you know, when you were starting to prepare for Y2K and so on, because you don't know what's going to happen out there. It doesn't really matter who's behind it. We know they're going to do something. We know that we're going to have cutoff in logistical supplies. We know we're going to have scares in our terrorist attack movement, so to speak. They can, you know, go into supermarkets and tamper with the food supplies. They can go into municipal water supplies and tamper with that. Doesn't matter who does it. Doesn't matter the reason that it happens. At the bottom end, you have to be able to protect yourself and your family. And to do that, you're going to have to worry about how you're going to filter your water. You're going to have to worry about, you know, how can you trust your food? Can you even grow your own food? As far as biological and chemical, should you go out and buy more gas masks, chemical suits and stuff? Well, that's something you got to decide on your own.
Well, the CIA just said, quote, in the next 2 years we will be hit. Of course, they'll take all our rights to keep us safe, so it's clear what they're doing.
Well, we have to do a traditional intelligence fan, and that means we look at the areas that are the most at risk. The cities are the most at risk. The people that live in the country are going to be a lot safer. It's as simple as that. If you live in a city, you better start studying and getting ready. If you live in the country, you already know how to be ready. Just do it.
All right. Thanks for the call, Mike. Greg, I appreciate you coming on the show today for 2 hours, and I'll talk to you soon, my friend, riflewarrior.com. Any closing comments? You've got about 15 seconds.
Keep safe. Keep your sight pointed downrange, and God bless.
All right. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back tonight, 9 to midnight Central Standard Time on the AM and FM dial, the Internet at InfoWars.com and net. Global shortwave at 5.085 and 6890 during the day from 11 to 2 at 12.172 and 9320. To everybody, thank you for all you do, and thank God, number one, for leading, guiding, and directing us. All of you, stand up, defend your family, and that starts by educating yourselves, getting prepared, and educating others. And fighting the New World Order. They are pure evil. You got to face that fact and know there's an enemy to be able to defeat it. Take care.